Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, O Lord. O Lord our God. Reflecting on those magnificent verses, reflecting on what Jesus Christ has done for us. I think it's the best thing that we can do, to come with thanksgiving and praise and worship before our Lord. And for the people of God who want to praise the Lord tonight and who want to worship God, the Word of God says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. This is truly the way to worship him. Having this in our minds, let's go back to Philippians chapter 2. Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. What does that mean? He made himself nothing. He emptied himself of the glorified body he had in heaven. He put that glory aside. The worship that was due to him, he put all that aside, and he came down from heaven to earth. Now, this is something that we just cannot comprehend. Why? Because he was that far up that we can't even see. It's like the peak of a mountain which is hidden somewhere way beyond the clouds. And we can't see from how far up he came down. We can't comprehend and understand how much he gave up for us. And so he came down to this planet, but he didn't stop there. As he lived among us, he lived the life of a servant who was there when you needed him. A servant who healed the sick. A servant who cast out demons. A servant who spoke the truth. A servant who, in the last days of his life on this planet, went and washed the feet of his disciples. Disciples who he knew are gonna turn their backs on him right the next day. He washed their feet. And then he died on a cross for. for all of us. Jesus Christ made himself nothing. Humbleness and obedience at its max. This is sacrifice. And we, dear brothers and sisters, are called to have the same mindset as Jesus, the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Therefore, tonight I'd like to continue and talk about becoming true servants. But before we can talk about sacrifice, I think there's something very important we need to understand. We need to think the way God thinks. And we need to accept his freedom. Therefore, the title of my message tonight is going to be Accept His Freedom. I want to tell you something tonight. Maybe it sounds like it's something new. Maybe it sounds a little weird. But listen to that. Servanthood and freedom are very, very much alike. Now, I know you should be somewhere on the opposite side, right? You think about a slave and then you think of freedom. But I want to tell you something tonight. Servanthood and freedom have a lot of things alike. And someone who serves properly can be truly free. And we'll get to that. Freedom. Freedom is an interesting word. You know, the Statue of Liberty is a symbol of freedom recognized everywhere around the world. I don't know about you guys, but usually when I look at the statue, the last thing I'm thinking about is freedom. I mean, that man or woman or, you know, is holding that torch since 1886. Didn't move an inch. Now, that's a symbol of steadfastness. That's a symbol of firmness. But it is the symbol of freedom, and it is a symbol of freedom because we said it's the symbol of liberty, right? Of freedom. We applied that sense to the Statue of Liberty. But thanks God, that's not the only symbol of freedom we have here in the United States. There is also the eagle, right? Now, you know, I really like eagles and birds in general as symbols of freedom because, you know, you look up there in the sky, you see those birds flying around and, you know, law of gravity has nothing to say to them and they're like 100% free, you know, flying around. And I think that if those birds could love as we do, I think they would crack up or burst out or whatever phrase you guys use nowadays when they fly over one of those Olympic stadiums and see those people trying to jump as far as they can and not even a second later or 2 seconds later they fall back down and then a bird just lifts up and goes away, you know, flies away. Birds, they're free, right? Well, you know, actually, birds are on a tight schedule. There's some birds that are on a really, really tight schedule. You know, they only have 2 appointments each year, one in the north and one in the south. But the distance is killing it. You know that North American Arctic terns, they fly about 24,000 miles each year. That's almost equal to the way around the globe, the earth. 24,000 miles each year. Scientists say that during a lifetime, they cover an area that all the way to the moon and back. 3 times. That's so much they fly. An Arctic tern can say, you know, I'm going to stick around for another 1.5 months here in the North Pole. Then it's going to freeze. You know, it's not going to get back down south. Don't have the time. Like I said, tight schedule. And then if someone of them manages to somehow fly over Colorado or who knows where our friends, the hunters, live, I don't know how much fun that is or how much freedom that is when you hear bullets just flying by your head, right? So not even birds are free. That's basically the whole thing I want to say. Not even birds are free, right? So then if the symbol of freedom is not free, then From a human perspective, we cannot really speak of complete freedom, right? We all live under a certain grid of laws and rules. There are the natural laws, there are the laws of coexistency, you know, there are laws in this country, there are laws in this state, and that those laws we need to respect. So when we speak of freedom, basically we talk about a person who's locked somewhere between four walls, and we say, well, that guy is not free. And then we talk about a person who lives in the United States, and she says, look, this guy is free. Now, is that truly freedom? You know, two people were once talking to one another, and they came from the communist China to the United States. And one of them said to the other, do you remember those days when we had to gather in secret, when it was so tough to worship God, to hear the gospel, to pray? But you know what I appreciate so much about you, my brother? You were there all the time. You somehow managed to get there. And I know there was a lot of fear, there was a lot of persecution, but you were there, and we worship God together. And thanks God, we live in the United States now, where we can worship God freely and go to church. So I'll see you next Sunday, brother. And the guy is like, well, you know, actually, next Sunday, it's pretty tough. We have a lot of work. Well, no problem, then I'll see you in 2 weeks. Well, you know, actually, it's this time of year where we do have a lot of work. But you know what? I'll call you when I'm free. I'll call you when I'm free. You know, I look at this freedom, and we have to do with someone who's a master of deceit. And sometimes I have the feeling that he changes tactics. And if in the past the prison was complete darkness and complete silence, where the jailers would have those shoe covers so that the guys in prison couldn't even hear anything, couldn't see anything, they couldn't hear anything. That was torture, besides all the other things that were going on in those prisons. Now tactic has changed. Now there was a big remodeling, nice colors, cool stuff in there, a big sign on top which says freedom. Then he says, come in, guys. This is a place called freedom. And then he locks you up. He locks you up in your lustful desires. He locks you up in greed. He locks you up in the desire to keep competing and get on the top and fit in this worldview and peer pressure. And you think you're free, but somehow you manage to be manipulated. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that this place is called United States. Really, don't get me wrong. I really think this country is a free country, and you can enjoy freedom as we do tonight. But it can get that place. It can get that place. You're not safe anywhere. So, the word that the wisest person on earth speaks in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 8 comes true. Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we're never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. It is somehow interesting to me that when you hear people speak towards the end of their lives, very often they end up saying, you know, I'm so sad. I'm so sad that I just wasted so much time. Have you heard that before? Time that I could have spent so valuably for God and with my family. And I was chasing things that have no value at all, as the word of God continues in Ecclesiastes 2:4. I tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reservoirs to collect the water to irrigate my many flourishing groves. I bought slaves, both men and women, and others were born into my household. I also owned large herds and flocks, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected great sums of silver and gold, the treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. So I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. That doesn't really sound like a happy freedom speech, right? It's like the passage in Revelation where we see the wealthiest, or one of the wealthiest churches in Laodicea. The word of God says, you say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You think you have everything. You think you are free. But you live in fear. You live in depression. You live in addiction. You live in neglection of the word of God. Free. From a human perspective, we cannot find freedom. In the secular world, you cannot find freedom. But I have good news, brothers and sisters. There is a being in this universe that is free. Now, I said about the birds that, you know, the law of gravity doesn't really have anything to say to them. That's the same for this being, but even more. Time, matter, and space have nothing to say, cannot bind God, because He created them. He is able to exist outside of them. Now, this is, humanly speaking, impossible. There are a lot of miracles God did in the scripture, but there is one that theologians say that is like the greatest miracles, and that is the virgin's birth. Jesus Christ managed to incarnate through a virgin. Now, that, humanly speaking, is just impossible. But He made it possible. Why? Because He had the freedom to do it. He was capable of doing that. Nehemiah 9:6 says, you alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all the starry hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. You give life to everything. You give life to everything. Let's ask the one who gives life to everything what it means to be free. Shall we? Let's see what he says. John 8:31. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What is the truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 36. So if the Son, who is the truth, sets you free, you are truly free. If the Son, who's the truth, sets you free, you're truly free. Amen? Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus, praise God, from the law of sin and death. You want to be free? You want to be truly, truly free? Since freedom is a person, since He gives you that freedom, I would say let's stick as close as possible to Him. Because that's actually what He really wanted from us. You know, He created us and He wanted us to be free. He didn't separate from us. We separated from Him. Or let's say Adam did it. And then we confirmed it every time we sinned. He wants us to be free. But in order to be free, we need to stick close to Jesus. We need to stay with Him. We need to follow Him everywhere. Follow Jesus through your thoughts. Follow Jesus through your words, through your conversations, through your acts. Follow Jesus through your planning. When you plan ahead, follow Jesus in everything you do. Stick close to Jesus and you will enjoy freedom. And that freedom, no one on earth can take you. They can lock you up and they can put you in the darkest prison. You'll be free because you have Jesus Christ. You'll be free because you have Jesus Christ. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. Freedom. Jesus is the Word. Live by the Word, and you'll be free. That is what freedom means. Philippians chapter 2. Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself. See what it says? He made Himself. He made Himself nothing. He took the decision. The decision is in your hands. Jesus is right there. And He says, accept my freedom. I am here. Next to you. Follow me. Come to me. And I will give you rest. I will give you peace. Come to me and I will give you freedom. It's a decision that you need to make. And sometimes you need to do it more often, right? Because we sometimes forget. Even better if you do it every single day. A commitment. Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. Then, on the third at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. O trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Yeah, come up, guys. He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night. And I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. You want to do that? You want to praise the name of the Lord our God? We're going to do it one more time right now. But I want to do something more than that. I want that to be the commitment of my life. I want to praise the name of the Lord my God every single day of my life. You want to do that too? Let's worship our God.